views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You are listening to The Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I'm going to empower you and teach you how to live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine ministry, science, and spirituality to reveal the steps you need to let go of your perceived limitations. Have you had the limiting self-talk over and over? Have you noticed you allow your fears to hold you back? If you're truly ready for change, I invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, and start your journey of transformation now. Welcome to the Tracy L. Clark Show. I am your host again this week, Tracy L., where I am known as the Body Whisperer, the creator and founder of the Body Regeneration Method, where I teach you how to connect to the God consciousness, raise your awareness, so you can actually reclaim the life that you're meant to live. And what I love so much about today's show is it is so in alignment of what we're always talking about, of reclaiming your power back in situations that may seem a little bit more difficult. Our guest today is Leanne Townsend. She is not only a divorce attorney in the Toronto area, however, she is a divorce coach. And she has a blog. She is going to give us a whole bunch of great information of how she got through her divorce and what she does now to help people just like you see how you can actually do this process in a more positive and intuitive manner. And for many of us who have gone through this situation, it is not always easy to uncouple. And energetically, what I have found it is because somebody didn't get the ending that they wanted, and we are not taught how to do this in the manner that is actually serving. So welcome, Leanne. I'm so happy you are joining us for this hour.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You know, when I found you and saw what you were doing, I was so intrigued. You actually popped up on my Instagram, but I have clients that, you know, come to see you and you help them through. And what I love so much is you're taking a different approach of how you coach people and help them through this process, because it's a very challenging process to walk through. Very challenging.
It's one of life's most stressful events.
It is, because your whole paradigm of what you thought, I always say, you know, when you get married, you should never say, till death do us part, because there's an energy there, right? I always say you should wait and say, I will love you in 5 or 7 years. Let's recheck in. And if, you know, something's changed and we can't work it, we will agree to love each other and let them go. What was the drive? And I know, being a lawyer in this area, and one of the things when we talk that I love so much about you is you really try to keep your clients and people focused on the positive outcome and the way of really getting through this in the right manner. What is the number one drive that made you change the direction of your business when you were into divorce law?
Well, I myself like to be a positive person, and I find, you know, practicing divorce law, to be honest, it is a very negative space to be in, because people are going through what is often the worst time of their entire life, and they're coming to you and they're miserable, understandably. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm able to make it a positive experience, because that's just the nature of, you know, the experience. But I felt that there was a need, you know, definitely to have more support for people. And often, you know, because people going through that the process, the first person they identify that they need is a lawyer. They you know, tend to come to that conclusion before they think about whether they need a therapist or a coach or, you know, other supports that they may very well need. They know they need a lawyer. And so in many cases, the lawyer becomes almost this all-encompassing therapist, social worker, you know, coach, cheerleader, best friend, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, not all lawyers, you know, choose to be in that role or have the training, quite honestly, to be in it. And so I just felt that there was a need to have something more to help support people And then also in the recovery process to have a positive program in place to help people move forward. So that's what kind of got me on that path. And then I developed it from there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And you're right. It's going through this challenge. So it's not like you're every day going, yeah, here I am, you know, I'm going through divorce. But there is more positive aspects which you bring in. And what I love is that you are guiding, and you do it in your blog and your writing and your speaking and your own media presentations, of really empowering your clients. And this is something new. And I guess for people that are listening, because we have people all over the place that are listening, saying, if I'm ready or I have to, two avenues. One, you're told you're going to go through a divorce. So the other person has told you they're going to, or the relationship is ending. Or you're the one that's decided that it's over. So we kind of have two avenues here. And I get a lot of people that ask me, they're like, okay, Tracy, I know I was one of these people. It took me 5 years to leave my marriage, 5 years. And then I was like, why did it take so long? What is one of the things that, because you love to empower your clients to say, you can do this, you can get through it. If somebody is sitting there going, how do I even think about untangling this relationship that is no longer serving me? It's no longer, it's come to an end. And most people know when it's come to an end. What would you say for their first step? Because the first thing you said is they jump in and get a lawyer, and that may not even be the right first step.
I think the first step is to assemble a team. I mean, you are going to need, in all likelihood, you are going to need a lawyer, but that doesn't mean you just jump to the first lawyer whose name you've been given by your, you know, third cousin. You know, because that's how it often happens, right? Yeah. It's like people, they don't know of a lawyer. And so they ask around, and the first name they're given, that's who they use. So, I mean, number one, I would say you want to interview several lawyers because you want to find one that's a good fit for you, that you feel comfortable with. You know, it's interesting, the number of people who come to me and say that they have a lawyer already and they're not comfortable with their lawyer. They're intimidated by their lawyer. And you know, they are the client. They are paying the lawyer. The lawyer should be servicing them. So the last thing they should be is, you know, afraid or intimidated or uncomfortable. So, you know, I'd say interview several people. And then, you know, you may need a therapist or a coach as well, depending on, you know, what state you're in yourself. You're definitely going to need a support network. And, you know, from there, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, legal stuff you can do beforehand in terms of assembling documents you need and all of that. You know, I think to approach it in a strategic way is the key, not to approach it from a place completely of emotion.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, I think, when you're so wrapped up, as we've both gone through our own, it's hard to step back. And one of the things that, as you are a divorce coach, what's the biggest hurdle you find with your clients when they're emotionally starting to move through?
The biggest hurdle is to get them to make decisions based on, you know, what's logical and what makes sense for the long term versus emotion, because, you know, it is a very emotional time. And so you're making the major, major life decisions that have repercussions for years to come, you know, decisions about where you're going to live, your financial security and financial future, your children, where they're going to live, how often you're going to see them, who's deciding what about them. And, you know, these are all usually the most important things in our lives. And so it's really important that you try to remove the emotional part out of the decision. And you're not just looking at it that, oh, I hate my ex. he or she was terrible to me. They deserve, you know, bad karma, and I want to get them. I want to win. You know, that sort of outlook, because that leads to, you know, irrational decisions, or decisions that aren't maybe in your and your children's best interest in the long term. And then sometimes people, it's almost like there's two reactions. There's either that I want to fight, or there's like, I just want to be rid of this. I just want it over with. And so then they also make, you know, unfortunately, impulsive decisions where they walk away from things like money, support, property, you know, rights that they have, that, you know, maybe in the moment they're prepared to do it because they just want to get rid of the situation. But in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, they may regret that they acted so quickly and impulsively. And so I always feel it's my role to make sure that they're thinking this through and not just reacting.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point. When I left mine, I was the person that just wanted out. I walked away from everything. Take it all. Go. I just want my kids. Got rid of all my money. And then you're like, wow. And I had to go back several years later and just sort of redo it. And it was interesting because when I looked back and when people are going through these separations, they sometimes forget that there's this, like for me, I had amassed a lot of money at a young age, and then all my family made me feel bad. So when I started to look at the energy behind it, I was like, okay, I'll just give it all away because I don't deserve it anyways. And I think when we go through a separation and a divorce with people, all of our beliefs or our paradigms about ourselves are coming up. And it's interesting that this world has become such a fight energy rather than you love this person and you do have children. So even though your time's come to an end, it's become such a fight. And like you said, it's like you see them and it's like, I want to just win. I'm just going to win. And there's no rational thought. And like you said, the emotion carries away. But I also find, don't you find that that gets fueled as well by people? And I'm not just saying their lawyer, but also their family and their friends.
Oh, for sure it does. I mean, all of the armchair quarterbacks, you know, put their two cents in. And I think, you know, family and friends definitely fuel it. Oh, you can't let him or her get away with that. And then the lawyers do sometimes too. I mean, part of it is, I think, unintentional in that inevitably when you start advising somebody of what their rights are that they maybe weren't aware of, a situation where maybe they were thinking, oh, okay, I'm just going to agree to this. And then they realize, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't agree to that. So, you know, just by making someone aware of rights they have can increase the fighting aspect. But then I do think on the other hand, sometimes, you know, certain lawyers can add fuel to the fire as well. And, you know, it does, it gets into this irrational fighting. And then you find couples where they've spent hundreds to thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Yeah.
And they're still fighting. And, you know, just think what you could have done for your children with that money.
Yeah, it's like that right fighting, you know, and I call it the ping pong energy where they're going one to the other, rather than stepping back. And this is one of the things you're really big about is teaching people, and I love this about you, to nurture themselves during this process.
Definitely. I mean, it's, you know, as you say, like the research shows that next to death of a spouse, divorce is the second most stressful event for people. And so it's so important to take care of yourself. And, you know, use all those self-care tools and not feel guilty. And, you know, because you take a beating when you go, you know, even if you wanted the divorce, you know, sometimes people think, well, I wanted this. Why am I finding it so stressful? It still is. And, you know, and then if you didn't want it, then, you know, that's a whole other situation. You may feel rejection or, you know, and nobody gets married thinking, gee, you know, one day I'd like to get divorced. So no matter where you're coming to it from, you know, it's not how you thought your life was going to go. So inevitably it is, it's very hard emotionally. And so it's really important to have those regular self-care tools in your life.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that. And from an energetic perspective for people that are listening, a lot of times as well, when, because your body hears everything going on, your body has these imprints, right? So if you're married and all of a sudden you're talking about, okay, when we're 50, we're going to do this. And when we retire, we're going to do this. And we're going to start to travel. And, you know, and you have all these family dynamics that come in. And so you're always, you know, talking about future plans and things you're doing. And what people don't understand when they go through a divorce is that when the two people separate, those imprints, all those thought patterns that have been within the body are now coming out. And now the body's actually looking for them, even though it's a very subconscious thing. The body's like, wait a minute, at Christmas, it's like running on subconscious patternings. Every holiday, there's a process you would build together as a couple, right? So when that holiday comes, the couple's like, the one, well, each will be looking, going, well, wait a minute, we don't do it this way. We've always done it this way. So all yeah. that relearning and retraining as the energy is leaving the couple is where that nurturing is so important, because then you can start to have a new perspective on it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You know, because everything has changed, and it takes time to heal and move forward as well. And so I always say to people too, it's important. There's no, hard and fast rule about how long it's going to take to heal. And so you just have to give yourself time and do the things you need to do in order to heal.
What's your favorite nurturing tool to give one of your clients where they can start?
Mine is, if you follow me on Instagram, I'm all about exercise and fitness.
You are. I love it. I'll tell you, one of the things I love about watching you, because when I went through my divorce, I said I had, and this is why I love you about the exercise, because there is all that research with the brain. I was like, okay, I can become an alcoholic. I can, I'm a Pisces, and I know to stay very straight in my space. So I'm like, I'm an alcoholic. I could go do party my butt off, get into a bunch of relationships, do whatever. I didn't do any of that. I dove in. It was the only time I had a six pack, but I dove into exercise, and I became the extreme with it. But I love that you promote this, because it's such a good stress reliever.
Well, it is. And then, as it releases the endorphins and the dopamine. And so I always say it's my antidepressant. I don't need to take antidepressants, because exercise does that for me. And then what I also like about it, just from an empowerment standpoint, is I think exercise, and certainly it is for me, very empowering, because when I'm pushing, 90 pounds on a sled or 150 pounds on a sled at the gym, I feel strong, and I feel like no one can mess with me. And so I think when you're going through a divorce and you feel kind of beaten down and you don't feel powerful, I feel exercise is a great way to feel strong and powerful. And, as like women in particular, I think we don't always think of ourselves as being physically strong. And so, it's a really good feeling. And so to me, that's the number one. You don't have to be hardcore, like I can be at the gym. I mean, even just walks or yoga or, just some form of daily movement is what I tell people is so important.
I did hardcore because at that time I was such a mess and my body was really actually quite sick. And it was the only way, rather than yelling and screaming all the time, which I'm not a yeller. So I was like, I would do those weights hardcore. I'm like, get it out. Anything. That was where I was like, thank you, God. I found that outlet. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done with that now. But I'll still exercise, just not like that. Right.
Yeah,
and I think it's so beautiful because it's a great space. And when we go into that and you're starting to take care of yourself, and like I said, people, if you can really even just a walk will do a big thing. But I think as well, there's this whole process of the fear when we walk through the ending of a relationship, and fear drives so many bad decisions in people's lives. And it doesn't, I don't mean like, a lot of people say, well, I'm afraid of doing that business or ending that relationship or whatever it is. It's a driver, but it keeps people so stuck. I hear a lot of people that say, and I'd be interesting to hear your opinion on this, is, well, Tracy, I don't want to leave this relationship because I'm afraid I won't make enough money. I'm afraid I don't know, have anything to do. I'm afraid I'll never meet anyone. And I'm like, whoa, why don't we look at this as a new beginning? And so what do you say to that? Because you would hear all the fear excuses as why something's not going to work.
Well, and it's interesting because you've identified there the two biggest fears that people say when they come to me. One is that are they going to have enough money to live on? And number two is, are they going to be alone, and never find love? Two biggest fears. And those are the reasons why people stay. And, and sometimes, to be honest, I do think there's a little bit of that grass is greener thing that goes on where people are in a relationship and they think that it isn't what they want. And they think that, they'll be happier on their own. And, they may or may not be. Sometimes it's better to make sure I would say always it's better to make sure you've exhausted the alternatives to making
agree.
The work. But of course, sometimes it's just not, you know, a good place for you to be. It's not a healthy relationship and it's not going to change. So, you know, when people come to see me, they have those fears. I mean, I always say, first of all, knowledge is power. So if you are in a relationship and you're afraid to leave for those reasons and you're just kind of burying your head in the sand and you're not afraid to, or you're too afraid to even, you know, get more information, that's not going to help you at all. So at least, you know, I always say, get the knowledge, find out what your rights actually are. Because then you'll have a better idea that, hey, maybe financially I am going to be okay. It's not as bad as I thought. And, you know, developing a plan, because I always find, again, like the best way to get through over a fear is by doing and going through it and doing actions, that are moving you forward. And so sitting and worrying and thinking, you know, isn't going to get you anywhere, but you know, as you move through it and you have, you know, a support team, helping you, it becomes more manageable, and then the fear, you know, becomes less.
Yeah, it's crazy too, like you were saying, how many people stay in relationships because they're afraid of what's on the other side, even though it's very unhealthy. I'm like you, I always believe exhaust it all. And there are certain factors that come up, right? Sometimes it's just boredom and people are just bored, and rather than working through. I think also too, you see, and you probably have seen this, a lot of relationships end up on autopilot, which that's why they fall.
They do. And I mean, the reality, you know, is I, you know, personally, I have a bias being a family law lawyer, but
yeah,
I think it's very hard in this day and age to meet someone in your 20s, say, or high school, even as some people are,
yeah,
and go through a lifetime with that same person, you know, till you die, and grow together and, you know, have the relationship is not always going to be smooth sailing. And that's where, you know, I think the grass is greener thing comes in. And sometimes when it becomes work, people don't want to do the work. And, you know, as a, someone who's divorced and who, you know, is out there dating and stuff, I can tell you that it's not so great out there either. So, I mean, I'm not saying people should stay in unhappy marriages or unhealthy relationships, but, you know, sometimes it's not as, it's just that you're stale and maybe you need to look at, you know, things to reignite the relationship and to work through things.
I like what you just said there. I'm going to toss something out here is that, so for years, what people forget is, you know, they would get married very young, right? And then till death do us part, which is also a thing throughout history, through the churches. And also I remind people when this whole marriage thing came the way it was in survival, people died at 30. So they were married at 15 and they were done, right? So this whole thing to procreate has come. And you're correct, because back then too, you would only meet the person in the next village. There was no one else to meet because we didn't have the communication we have now. We didn't have planes and trains and automobiles. So as we've morphed as a society, this whole idea about getting married, like you say, really young. I know I did it. That's why I ended up getting divorced as well. And there was other big issues in that relationship. So, you know, we had exhausted everything, but it was definitely other things. And I think too, that there's this place that people grab on to people so young, or maybe they're even in their 20s. And then you between, now I know energetically, between 27 and 32, women go through their biggest transition. Men, it's about 40, right? Energetically, of who are we? What do we want? What do we do? So people grabbed on to someone, to that old stupid Jerry Maguire movie, "Oh, you complete me," versus completing themselves. And then it does get boring and one person grows and the other's still the same.
Mm-hmm. And it's very common.
Yeah. And then they forget that. So I think you're exactly correct that maybe it's even time that we start looking at marriage differently.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think in 2019, with, you know, all the things you just mentioned, I you know, again, I'm not anti-marriage.
I'm not either. No. Yeah.
I do think that a lot of things have changed since, you know, the concept of marriage first came about. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, is the idea of the long-term monogamous marriage like a dead concept or going in that direction? Because is it realistic to meet someone at 25 that, you know, at 80, you know, you're still going to be, in the same, you know, place enough that you're growing together and supporting each other. Because I know myself at 52, I'm a very different person than I was at 25.
Oh God, aren't we all? We don't want to be those people. I know, it's like, whoa, was that me? Was that me? Yeah. And I think too, like what you're saying as well, that I really want our listeners to understand is people got married so they could have babies because that's really what the church told them, right? You have to get married before you can have babies.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and now with women in the workforce, the way they are as well, like, you know, in the past, you know, historically women were economically dependent for, you know, a lot of years on, you know, the man was the breadwinner, the woman stayed home and raised kids, and that's all changed now. Yeah. So, you know, the role of marriage now is very different. Like what is its role in 2019?
Yeah, you know, this is an amazing topic because no one talks about this. So I know we have to take a quick break. I want you to let our listeners know, where can they find you on social media, on your website, people, because we always have people asking for lawyers that are in, well, you're a lot more aware, you're intuitive, you have such a humbling approach of how you went through it. And this is what people are asking for now. So how can our listeners find you?
My website is www.leannetownsend.ca, and I'm very active on social media. So I'm on Instagram, Leanne Townsend Life, Facebook, Leanne Townsend Lawyer and Divorce Coach. I'm on Twitter. My website's a great starting point, though, because it has all my connections to social media and all my contact information.
I love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we come back. We're going to expand more on this conversation about marriage in 2019 and a few more things that you can do if you are starting to either leave the relationship or know that it's come for yourself and to empower yourself in other areas to move forward and to move through the fear. So we'll be right back after the break.
Searching. Are you searching? Looking for a sign? I'm looking for a sign. A message you need to hear.
Is anybody out there?
From the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself, you can't make decisions, and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back to the Tracy L. Clark Show. I'm your host, Tracy L. And if you haven't checked out my website, check over at TracyLClark.com where you can download your free 18-minute Clearing Out the Weeds audio. It will actually shift you and sift you and keep you grounded, centered, neutral, and stable for your day. And you can also check out the global online event happening tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's in the comfort of your home, all around shifting your financial paradigm. But we are going to get right back into our guest with Leanne Townsend here today, who is not only a divorce lawyer, but a divorce, I like to call her more of an empowerment coach, because she has taken her own experience and where she has gone through to really empower people on how to get back on their feet. And, you know, this is rare. And I know I said this before, I get chills as I'm saying this. This is rare to find a lawyer that also wants you to be empowered and understands that side. So Leanne, what would be, before we left, we were talking about 2019, how relationships have changed. What do you think your best advice to people to not have so much pressure on themselves about their perfect relationship and how it has to be?
Well, I mean, I think communication is important, you know, in a relationship that, you know, if something the other person is doing is bothering you, you need to have a conversation about it. And so I think, you know, when there's healthy communication, there's more liable to be, you know, resolution of issues that are going on. And then I think the other piece of advice I have, which would apply to like all areas of our life, not just our relationships. I mean, the danger of social media in the world we're in now is just that it always looks like everyone else is, you know, leading these, you know, great lives. And so when you're looking at people's relationships on their, you know, social media, just remember that it's the highlight reel and that a lot of the stuff, you know, isn't real. It's portrayed a certain way. So don't compare your real life relationship to someone else's, you know, social media relationship.
Oh my God. I am so glad you brought that. There's the biggest pet peeve I have is because I can see the energy. I see what's going on. Is people, oh, I'm out with my husband having an anniversary dinner. It's so great. And they all be, oh, you're so beautiful. Meanwhile, I know. And they've even confided, I'm having an affair or they're having an affair. And you're like, oh my God, and all these people. And I think this is huge, comparing to others. So when you're having a bad day and you turn on your social media, and I would say don't post anything. You're better off to post nothing if it's not truth. But people don't do that. So what do you say to them? Don't turn on their social media? What would you say? Because comparison's huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say to remember, you know, when you're if either don't turn on your social media. I mean, if you're having a really rough day, you probably just shouldn't turn it on. But you know, if you are going to be active on there, just to remember things through that lens, that it's not real necessarily. And, you know, I find you must find this too, like the more I do social media and the more I connect with people, the more I'm realizing even, you know, some of the people out there who I thought, you know, we're extremely successful and leading this certain kind of life. And then I came to realize, whoa, like that's really not accurate. So I just, you know, so with a marriage, like definitely keep that in mind because they're only posting, as you say, like that, the highlight reel, the engage, you know, they it was an anniversary and, oh, like, aren't we in love? And this is so perfect. And, you know, just don't think that it necessarily is. And I think that there's a lot of, I hate to say, there's a lot of relationships out there where people are not, you know, that happy. They're just kind of complacent. They're not necessarily unhappy, but they're complacent. And That's not a situation where you necessarily should be looking at getting a divorce. There might be ways to, you know, reinvigorate the relationship and not just, you know, say, oh, well, I don't have the same relationship as, Tracy there does on Instagram with her, her better half. So I've, got to get a divorce.
They call my butter half Snuffleupagus because he's very quiet and private. And, and I respect that, right? So you don't see much there. But it is true, right? And it's true that people know about him. But I respect privacy as well. And I think that's also the other thing is that when it comes to social media and we have more of a public life like you and I do, it is nice to have some of that privacy because it can get into your relationships, right? And so people also have to understand that. And one of the things I want to point out is I've been redoing all of my social media. So I have people helping me and this is a new area. The back end's really hard and lot to learn. So anybody out there, lot to learn. And I had pulled up what some influencers and stuff that I was like, oh, looking at what they were doing. And so I asked these people who know, and I said, I'm looking at these, because you have to do all this research when you're rebranding, right? Do you know that the feedback came? I go, well, that's great. It looks great. And they're in these spaces, but they're poor. They're not making any money. And did you know that? And your business is doing really well. We just want to enhance it. I had no idea. I'm looking, going, look, the great lifestyle. They're traveling. They're doing this. And I love to incorporate more travel into my work. And I am, but you have to restructure your business, right? So point to what you're saying is even I had that opener with just as rebranding my company going, wow. And it does. It opens how many relationships may have you seen or you feel bad about yourself because you don't maybe look like that person or that person. And then you find out it's Photoshopped or it is those snippets, right? It's not reality.
And the other thing is, and I think people need to be careful of this when they're looking for example, coaches and things like that, is that everyone on social media is an expert, they don't necessarily have qualifications, but they hold themselves out as an expert. And I've come across a lot of people who are relationship experts and love experts and, various things. They can't be a legal expert, at least. They don't have that law degree, but there's a lot of areas where people are holding themselves out as being experts in certain things, and they're not, but they've got an audience on social media. And I think, when you're going through a divorce or a breakup and you're vulnerable, I would tell people to be careful with who they do go to for help, just because, when you're in a vulnerable situation and you latch on to the wrong person who isn't properly trained or properly equipped, they could do a lot of damage to you. And then that's just something I found with social media. It's just, there's a lot of people out there holding themselves out as things that they're not necessarily very qualified for.
Or they haven't gone through anything, or they haven't experienced, I would, and one of the things to say to that, and it's one of my big pet peeves, is because I would say, I'm not going to teach you anything I haven't walked through, right? That I haven't experienced, so I can give you the tool for it and understand. And it was interesting when my relationship showed up, people that have been with me and learning and training in their own bodies, they're like, oh, you said something. You must have a relationship that's actually really healthy now. And I said, and they picked it up. And I said, yeah. And they're like, because you always talk about having a healthy, strong relationship with yourself and love yourself. And you said, you will never talk about that until you have it because you don't live it. You don't have it now. You can teach you how to get out of the bad ones and how to go, they've been there, done it. And I think that it's so key. It's, people that are, and I've seen this, there's a few people that keep popping up, but I won't say names, but they're like, oh, I'm going to teach you how to have this perfect marriage, but they've been divorced 3 times, but they're not married. They don't have the perfect marriage. And I'm not saying perfect is different for everyone else because it's going to be ups and downs. And I think a perfect marriage is understanding how to, and relationship, getting through the downs, the valleys together and coming up. And that's something that gets mastered over time in a relationship. It's not just something that happens in a year.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult if you've all of a sudden ended up in this position and you don't know where to turn, because on social media, everybody is an expert. I'm like, how can you be an expert in everything?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think, you raised a great point there too. I know when you've gone through something yourself, and I know that that's what I draw on, because I've been divorced and I'm out there in the dating world. And I've also, when my marriage ended, My self-esteem was very low. And one of the things I did was self-medicate with alcohol. So I kind of went through a whole negative stage there. And so when people come and see me, I can often draw upon like my own journey and the healing I've had to go through and the work I've had to do and the tools I had to learn personally, and what worked and what didn't work and all of that. So as you mentioned, when you've gone through certain things yourself too, and you can bring that to the work you're doing with other people, versus just having read about it or not have the personal experience, it just adds a whole other level of support and help that you can bring to people.
You touched on something that you were saying, like with self-medicating with the alcohol. I know I did that a little bit, and then I was like, I better stop or I'm going to go the other way. So that's when I did the workout. What would you say? Because there's a lot of pressure I find with people, and they say to me, well, I'm just trying to drink to get through it because my friends say it's okay. And so if somebody's actually walked through that in a breakup, what would you say to these people that are like, I'm just going to self-medicate? Because it's very, very common, and you know it's very common. To maybe a little tool that they could do to maybe not go that route, so they can be more centered and make better decisions. Because I don't know if you know, when people drink, the energy of the alcohol lowers their vibe for the next 12 to 15 days. So they're not as clear energetically, I'm not talking, and mentally as they normally would be, right? And I know that from personal experience too. But what would you say to them who are like, wanting to self-medicate that way?
I went through it, and so I would say, first of all, to be very careful. My advice would be not to do it. If you notice your drinking consumption is going up when you're going through a divorce, that's a flag, and you need to look to, use other self-care tools like exercise or journaling or meditation or, whatever other tools, work for somebody, because it is something I see a lot. And I know from my own experience, like for most of my life, I was not much of a drinker at all. I barely drank. And when I was going through that time in my life, it started to become a problem. And for me, it was initially what helped me cope, because I had to be perfect and always be positive and be, taking care of my job, doing well at my job, doing well with my children, but not be depressed and just be happy and positive. And, I wasn't feeling any of those things. And so the alcohol, it gave me, for a while, it worked as a tool to actually help me cope with all of this other stuff. And, unfortunately for me, one glass became two, and two became four, and it just started going in a very negative direction. And I see that happening, as I say, with a lot of people, because in our society, alcohol is such a, it's associated with good times and, mummy juice is wine.
Yes. Well,
mummy juice is not wine, and people laugh I would have been the last person that anyone would have predicted would have ever developed a problem with alcohol. And I did.
Yeah.
So, so I would say be careful, and it's healthier and going to be better for you if you can find other tools. Anyway, because, alcohol is a depressant. It makes you gain weight. Also what you mentioned about, almost the brain fog or whatever that lasts, like it might relax you in the moment, but it's really not going to be, it should not be a self-care tool.
Yeah. And it is. And so people can understand that there's better ways. I think that also too, that people forget when they go through these separations, and whether it's even just an ending of a relationship in general that's been more than a year or two, that it's okay to have those bad days. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay, like you were saying, got to be positive, lift everyone. I know that when I used to do that all the time as the mask, and I'm really happy. And now I'm like, I'm really having a crappy day today, so I'm just going to allow it, and it's all right, and tomorrow will be a better day. But I think that's another thing, don't you find, that people don't give themselves permission when they're leaving a relationship to feel angry all the time, or to not that you want to be there for 6 months or 8 months, but it's okay to feel all those feelings.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in our society today, is there's such an emphasis on, good vibes only and positive energy, that the message is that if you feel sad or angry or shameful, or shame's a horrible emotion anyway, but
it happens.
Yeah. And the best thing you can do for yourself is get comfortable sitting with those negative feelings and not needing to self-medicate. And obviously if they linger and they linger and they linger, then, you know, you need to look at, you know, some other sources to help you get through it. But we just have such a culture of instant gratification, instant, you know, and the whole, I understand CBD oil and the health benefits and all of that, but here in Canada, the whole legalization of cannabis, I feel it's also adding fuel to that if I have anxiety, I need something to make me less anxious. And again, I know there's people out there who have, you know, legitimate, significant anxiety issues that need, you know, various whatever remedy and all of that. But I my worry is at times that, like, I would say through almost every day of my adult life, I experience anxiety. I experienced anxiety before coming on your show today because I'm, you know, what is she going to ask me? Am I not going to be able to answer the question? Am I going to look stupid? You know, that's anxiety, right? And I'm giving a keynote speech on Friday. I have enormous anxiety about that because I want to do a good job. But I sit with the anxiety. I exercise. I do, you know, some of the self-care tools. But, you know, I get butterflies in my stomach and I've learned that I have to just be okay with that and manage it and not take something or do something to get rid of that, to numb that feeling.
And I think people forget, because I woke up with anxiety this morning. Funny you said that. And I, every once in a while, where is that coming from? I looked at it. And now I have my tools to move through it. And it was fine. I saw where it was all coming from. And I think as well, like, the brain, and they've proven this scientifically, doesn't know really the difference between what's anxious and excitement or fear, right? The brain just doesn't. It's just an emotion. It's a trigger in the body. And energetically, with the oils that you were talking about, people that are in a very lower state vibrationally, they talk about 3D, 5D, 4D, but that's another show. But what I'm saying is if you're in a lower vibrational state, the oils will uplift you. They'll make you feel like it will raise your vibe. But if you're in a higher state, it actually brings you down. So what I actually say to people is you have to be mindful as well, right? Because if you're always masking something, you never get through it. Like you say, you don't learn to cope. You don't learn to say, okay, is this excitement? What is this? Or maybe, like you said, you know, going to do the keynote speaking or today having some fun. And then it's like, because it's new, right? It's coming in. So that's also, it feels anxious, but it's also fun. It's also like moving forward. And if people could start to understand that they have more self-love and more power than they actually give themselves, and they don't really always need the fix.
That's a really good point. You know, I think that you know, as a society, we do need to, you know, teach people and learn ourselves that we have more power and we can sometimes get through things that we, you know, didn't think we could. And, you know, again, I want to stress, like, I'm not in any way suggesting that, you know, people who are using various aids, you know, to help with things like anxiety or depression, like, you know, I don't in any way frown upon that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
But for sure, you know, I think in everyday life, there's a range of emotions we're going to feel. And when you're going through something like a breakup or a divorce, of course you can have negative emotions. Yeah. You'd be a very strange person if you didn't have at least some, whether it's anger or, you know, sadness or, you know, any of those things. And so to learn tools to be able to cope and not just have to immediately make it go away is important. And you don't heal, right? If you don't work through something, if you just mask it all the time, you know, which is what I did, you know, I think with the alcohol for a while, I just masked the wounds. And so I didn't really start healing until I stopped trying to mask them.
Yeah. And then people wonder why the next person that shows up just looks like their last partner, just in a different body.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they haven't taken the time to go, you know. And I think one of the things, people don't take the time, and you probably see this, it's we get into such this blame as to why something ended, rather than looking at we both contributed to that relationship. We both contributed to what was happening there. So it was there to serve us for some reason.
Well, I think that's so important because I know, for example, in my own marriage, you know, there were elements of, My ex-husband being emotionally and verbally abusive towards me. And, you know, for a while, for a long time, I was in victim mode. You know, he's awful. I'm so, you know, angelic and I'm such a nice person. You know, I'm all good. He's all bad. But as I went through my healing journey, you know, I started to recognize that it was a very codependent relationship. And when I, you know, for many years, even after we split up, the way that I interacted with him and engaged with him, you know, it was, we were like dance partners, and he would do, you know, he would do a certain thing that would trigger me to behave a certain way that would cause him. And once I started my healing journey and started changing how I behaved and interacted with him, you know, the whole dance changed. In fact, there was no dance anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, the abuse changed because I wasn't behaving in the same way with him. You know, and it's like I took my power back. And, you know, so now when I look back on it, I recognize my role and my responsibility in what happened to me. I did play a role, and I, you know, to say that it's all his fault is totally, totally wrong.
Yeah. It sounds like a very similar past. It's interesting because they do become our best teachers. And if people could look at that of how did this relationship serve me to teach me? And now look, had you not gone through that and had you not experienced that, you wouldn't be able to help and coach all the people that come to you because you see it from such a different perspective now.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because I find one of the things we hear so much about now is narcissism and, you know, narcissistic personality disorder. And I would say probably 99% of the people who come to see me all say their ex is a narcissist. And, you know, I think some of them probably are, but some of them I don't think are. I think we throw that term around, you know, so easily now. But, you know, I think just when I was a Crown attorney, I was a prosecutor for many years before I got into family law, and my specialty was domestic violence, and I got a lot of training in domestic abuse and all of that. But I would say with all the education and training I had in that role, where I learned the most was through my own experience and my own healing journey and, you know, becoming more aware of the behaviors and also what I was doing and all of that. I think I learned a lot more just through that than I did through, you know, going to a training on the topic.
And that's what sets you apart from so many other people. I'm not saying there's not a lot of great lawyers out there. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it sets you apart because you've owned it. You've walked through it. You actually saw how it served you. And you actually have compassion and humility and the ability to see when other people maybe can't see right through the forest. With your experience, you're able to... That's where I find when I tuned into you and connected with you, I'm like, wow, she can actually help guide them because you've been there and you took the path, you came out the other side and, oh, it's a sunny day today. Like you got through it.
Yes. You know, I did. And so I understand why people stay in abusive or really bad relationships. Cause I did. And I get, you know, I don't judge it. Cause I, you know, I was that person too. But I also, what I don't like to see is people who, when they've left a relationship and it's years and years and years later, and they're still, you know, in that victim angry mode. And I just don't like to see that, not because I don't have empathy for them, but it's just, I know that that's only hurting them at that point. And, you know, they have, and I was that person again. So I, you know, it didn't serve me, you know, wearing that banner for a number of years. It was only when I really started working through it and taking back my power, because that's so important, that, you know, the healing and the inner, you know, peace and self-love and happiness within myself really came about.
Yeah. And it's so key. Everybody, we have to really learn to love ourselves first. And I, my always ask, my prayer, my wish to everything is that, and I'm still trying to figure out how to take that leap, but to find a way that we teach this to children, find a way to teach them how to self-love and be empowered and move out of this space, because then we will have a new paradigm of how relationships work, which are more loving and caring and understanding. And when people love themselves, it's infectious. You know, it's so beautiful, so beautiful.
True. And it's funny because it took me until, you know, probably my late 40s to really understand that if I didn't love myself, I was never going to be in a healthy relationship with someone else loving me. And I, you know, I think it's crazy that it took me that many years to learn that. And you know, if I hadn't gone through some of the stuff that I've gone through, and some of the falls that I've had, I never would have learned that. I don't know.
Well, like I always say, I can't believe we're at the top of the hour. We have to have you back. We could just go on forever. I always say it's that old saying, if you don't love yourself, why would you ask somebody else to love you? And if that's where people could take that. Again, before we sign off, Leanne, I got to thank you. I can't believe our hour just went by so quickly. Where can everybody locate you? One more time.
My website is www.leannetownsend.ca. All my links to my social media are there. I'm very active on Instagram, Leanne Townsend Life. I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. And my website has all my contact details.
Well, I am so thrilled that you were here. Thank you. And I do hope you will consider coming back because we have so much more that we could cover on this topic. And I know our listeners love it. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. Join us next week where we will have your call
thank
and
you
answer
for listening
show with me.
The Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I teach you how to live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine ministry, science, and spirituality, revealing the steps you need to transcend perceived limitations. As a remarkable leader and pioneer in my field, I, Tracy L., will provide insights energetically and the tools required to move you forward. For more information on my partnership program, check us out at tracylclark.com.